All right, let's read together 1 Corinthians 10, 15, 16, and 17. I speak as to wise men, judge thee what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we are being one part and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. All right, in verse 15, who is he speaking to here? Any hands on that? What does he call these people at Corinth? Pastor Dan.
Wise men.
Wise men. Is every Christian, genuine Christian, wise? How can they be wise? Pastor Dan.
But he was speaking to them as if they were.
All right.
And they could be wise by heeding what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
Heeding and believing what the words of God say.
Reading and knowing and believing as to wise men. As to, you know, that's a simile. As to, judge ye what I say. What does it mean to judge? How does somebody go about that? And hands on that? And hands on that? Is that Tammy? All right. So they must use judge. Yeah, Pastor Ned.
So you have, use the word of God. So you would have discernment.
All right.
So you can discern between what's proper, what's in, what's improper.
All right. Judgment, that goes to the mind to be able to understand and discern what's right and what's wrong. Judge ye what I say. All right. So Paul's going to say a few things about the Lord's Supper. In verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless refers to what? Tammy?
Communion,
all right. Communion of the blood of Christ. Now, is that literal blood?
No.
What does the Roman Catholics teach about this? Do they believe it's literal blood?
They falsely teach
it's literal blood.
And it becomes
literal blood.
And body
also. This is heresy. See, this is a simile. Because the Lord Jesus said it while he was still living, right before the apostles. This is my body. It can't be the body and then the body in there. It's ridiculous. They misinterpret the simile of the scripture. Yeah, Tammy?
The Lord says, do this in memory of me.
Yes.
And so it's clear that we're supposed to do it. It's something we do
mm-hmm.
to remember.
That's right. In the last part of verse 16, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Is that a literal body?
No.
No, because he's right there talking to them, see? And so we've got to be very careful. The Roman Catholic Church is wrong on that, 100% wrong. And then in verse 17, we being many are one bread. What does that mean? Who's the we referred to here? Any hands on that?
Yeah.
Genuine, born-again Christians. And they are what in this verse 17, 16? What is Tammy?
Body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So that, that's
Christ. I am the bread of life, he said.
Yeah.
In
John 6. Mm-hmm. So in the body of Christ, we're, and then in verse 17, being many are one bread. In what sense are the, who's the one body again?
Christ. And believers.
All right, the believers are one body.
Christ.
In Christ, genuine Christians. What does it mean they're one bread? Tammy?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I am the bread of life, he said.
Yes.
And so in the same sense.
So we're partakers of that one bread. The Lord Jesus is the bread, and we're partakers of it for genuine Christians, okay? So that one bread. Let's see, 15, 16, all right, let's read 18, 19, and 20. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the breastfires of the bread? What say I then? If the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should fellowship with devils. All right? So in verse 18, Israel after the flesh, the question is asked, are they not? Are they which eat after the flesh partakers of the altar? Well, how would they think? How would you interpret that particular verse? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
It's referencing the Old Testament system of sacrifice.
All right.
At the time, the priest would be able to partake
mm-hmm.
a portion of what was offered, a certain percentage, a certain portion of it.
Mm-hmm. So, the partakers of the altar, in a sense. And then in verse 19, what say I then, that the idol is anything? Did Paul say idols are something? And he has anything? No.
They're nothing.
And I, those that in the Roman Catholic Church, when they have pictures of saints and so on and so forth, are they akin to idols?
Yes.
In what way? Tammy, are you an old-fashioned member?
Of old time.
Yeah.
A long time ago,
yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know. They have pictures everywhere. They either have pictures or they have icons or they have gold and they can worship them.
Yes. Bill. Oh, excuse me. You finished?
And even going to get Christians, sometimes in their Sunday school materials, I think it's okay when we have pictures of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have pictures in the Roman Catholic Church of the stations of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
There was different things, I guess, people were supposed to do at each mm-hmm. picture, but I never really knew a whole lot about that.
Mm-hmm. And also, John,
well,
and then Bill.
They pray to those saints.
Yes.
And that's a form of worship.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Bill. Mm-hmm.
That's actually against the law.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful about the types of pictures and things that we use.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what Jesus looked like. We have no idea at all mm-hmm. what he looked like. We don't know anything about his hairstyle or anything like that. We don't know, there's so little that
mm-hmm.
But we don't want to make any pictures that are wrong about.
Yes. I read recently, many weeks ago, about the style of hair of men in that day. It's not big, long beards like this. It's very, very short type of thing. So that's a blatant mistake also. If you have a big, long beard, they just didn't dress that way. The males of that time, which are shorter, just a tinier philosophy.
And the hair on top of the head was shorter than
white. Yes. So that is absolutely false in what they say and what they do. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Now, that was verse 18, was it? What was the verse I'm on? Is it verse 18? Israel, after the flesh, they eat of the sacrifice, partakers of the altar. Are they partakers of the altar in that sense? Yes, Bill.
So we have to read 18, 19, and 20.
I thought we read that.
Didn't? No, we read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought we read it, but we're just...
Oh, okay.
18. So 18. Are they partakers of the altar, those that are Israelites? What do you think? What's the answer to that one?
Well,
John? All right, and then in verse 19, what do we say then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice is anything? What's the answer to those two questions? Any hands on that? Hey, Pastor Dan?
No, it's nothing.
No.
Quite often the Amish, Amish Mennonite, or I guess it's more than that, but Amish, Amish Mennonite, they won't have photographs. Their dolls have no eyes or noses or mouths,
faces.
Mm-hmm. Faces.
It's a blank face.
Blank face. They're concerned about it being deemed as an idol.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
The icons, the statues, and so forth.
Statues.
Statues?
Yes.
Yes. Us two? Those two?
Isles and Tassie.
In the institution, the big institution, are clearly of concern. And so.
So, two questions. Are the idols anything, and are they offering to the idols anything? What's the answer to both those questions, John? No meaning whatsoever. It's just paganism. And so then that was, did we read 20? Did we read?
Yes, we read 20.
Okay, verse 20, Paul says the things that Gentiles sacrifice, what is their sacrifice to, according to Paul here?
The devils.
The devils. Devils and demons is a very strong indictment, not to God. So we got to stay away from all these type of idolatries. The pagans use. Let's read verse 21, 22, and 23 together. He cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. He cannot drink partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things are by not. All right, verse 21. You can't drink the cup of the devils, the cup of the Lord, the cup of the devils. What is that indicating? What is that trying to say? Tammy?
Principle of separation.
Principle of separation. We should not mix the two. We should not. So, really, can we honestly, or should we honestly partake of the Lord's table with those that are unsaved, lost, and bound for hell, and with us? We shouldn't do it. See, it's really a sad thing. Do sometimes unsaved, godless people partake of the Lord's table when we give it? Yes, they do. Should they?
No,
they should not. Every time we have the Lord's table, I always point out for the Lord's people only, the saved people only. But we've seen it repeatedly in our services where unsaved, we know they're unsaved, they partake. We can't knock them over the head, but that's what it is. So in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You can't mix them. Separation. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Again, the same separation as we said before. We've got to stay away from mingling religiously between saved and lost. Then in verse 22, we provoke the Lord to jealousy. What does that mean? And why is that brought up? How would we answer that one? And verse 22. Why would God be jealous if some of these things were the case?
Well,
John?
The Lord tells us himself in the Old Testament that he is a jealous God.
Yes?
He doesn't worship only him.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's good. Tammy?
I'm going back up there.
All right. Go back two areas if you want. Well, around 22 now, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, so it was 20 that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it talks about separation.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So, I mean, the whole idea that there's no unity with Christ and Belial or any false God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pastor Dan.
James 3:10. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be.
Ought not to be. Questions at bftbc.org and 856-261-9018. Give us a call and listen to you. Glad to hear from you if you can. We were on verse, what was it, 22? What verse was it?
22.
What does it mean? Do we provoke the Lord? Provoke. What does that verse mean? Yeah. What's that verse? We're on that one already?
Yeah.
We finished with that one?
Yeah.
What does the word provoke mean? What does it mean, the word provoke? I don't know whether you discussed that, did we? Yeah. Tammy?
I don't know. It's just sort of push someone to do something or to act a certain way.
Mm-hmm. So the Lord is something that we shouldn't do. He is against. When we do it, we provoke him. We make him angry, sort of, against us. The jealousy. Are we stronger than he? What's that answer? No, absolutely. Even a genuine Christian, he's the one that's the strongest of all the people. He's without strength. Yeah. Hi, Jill. Good to see you. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Jill. 1 Corinthians 10. And we're in verse number 23. Did we read 23 yet? No. Okay, let's read 23, 24, and 25. We read 23?
21, 22,
23. Okay, so let's take 23. What does it mean? All things are lawful for me. In what sense is that? Any hands on that? All things are lawful. John?
Under the current age, you know, all things are, we're able to do whatever, pretty much whatever we want. Doesn't mean we should. There are still rules that we can follow as born again Christians.
Are any genuine Christians today under the law of Moses?
No.
No. Tammy?
I think that's what I'm saying. We're not under the law. The law is already been fulfilled.
All right. In Christ, it's
lawful.
Now, but all things are not expedient. What does expedient mean? What does this part mean there? All things are not expedient. Jill.
You know, sorry, what did you say?
1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. 10:23. Are all things expedient? What does expedient mean? Yeah, Tammy.
That's the best or the most profitable.
Most profitable, that's right. In other words, the most expedient things are things that we should do, and so it's a green light, not a red light to do. Expedient. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. In other words, we may do them, but it's not always the right thing at the right time. Expedient. And then, but notice the last part of verse 23. All things lawful, but I will not all do all things edify. Now, what does edify mean? Do all things edify. What does that mean, yet, Tammy? All right. Okay, even though we can do it, if we do it, it may not build up Christians, but just either level them or tear them down. So we've got to be very careful what we do. Did we read that? You need now to go read the 24?
Yeah.
Okay. So 24, 25, and 26 together. That no man seek his own, but every man is worth his wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that he... Actually, no questions, for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right, so 24. Let no man seek his own, but another's wealth. Does that mean stealing?
No.
What does it mean? Any hands on that?
We should be looking out for the other person's welfare.
All right. And not our... Yes, Jill. Mm-hmm. That's right. Don't seek somebody else's wealth. You're glad you, whatever you have, but another's wealth, see his own. But everyone, in other words, help other people and their needs, not just your own needs, although both are important. And then in verse number 25, what is sold in the shambles? What do you think shambles are referring to here? Any hands on that? John?
That was like a butcher shop. That's a place where meat was sold.
Okay, meat was sold. If it's sold in the shambles, that eat, what does it mean, asking no questions for conscience sake? What does that mean? Any hands on that?
They have to ask them whether or not that was used to sacrifice an idol.
All right, Anna. Is some of this meat sacrificed to idols? Yes. That's right. So be very, very careful. All right. For conscience sake, whose conscience? What? He that showed it, all right. Or the one that's going to eat it or something. Either one, there's several consciences. Anna? A high hand. Good, you're jumping ahead and you found the answer. Okay. Then verse 27. Are we 27 now?
No, 26.
Oh, 26. For the earth is the Lord's. In what sense is the earth the Lord's? Pastor Dan is something, right?
He created it.
He created it, that's right. He owns it, he created it. If he created it and he owns it, Why do the men today try to change this and change that and change what God has made? It's a strange thing, isn't it? They don't even believe God made the whole earth and the heavens and all the things. But the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness there. What does the fullness, you think, mean? Any hands on that?
Yeah, everything that's in it.
All right. Yeah, everything that's in it. Tammy, that's what you think also. Everything that's in it is the Lord's. And the people on this earth today do not believe that everything is created by God. They have some other means of it. Change things right and left. And then in verse 27, if any man... Oh, I haven't read that yet? Okay, let's go 27, 28, and 29 together.
Okay, what do you got there? Believe not, bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no questions of conscience.
But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth was the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?
Mark in verse, thank you, Dan. Yes, when I put on my tapes and say it, I'd shut down these two things.
You turn the power off. Chileskis are off. It's better, probably.
Maybe that's better. Let's turn them off. All right, verse 27. That's where we're at now, right?
Yes.
Is any of them that believe not, if they bid you to a feast, should they go to an unbelieving feast that they ask you to go to?
Sure,
yes or no?
It depends on the context.
Anna?
I suppose it depends on the context.
All right. Tammy and then Jill.
Well, in this verse, it says if you be disposed to go. So if you feel that you shouldn't go, then you wouldn't go to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel that you should go, then now mm-hmm. the rest of the verse is pertaining to that person.
All right. And Jill.
I was just going to say what Tammy said. Jumping ahead with what the verse says and how it relates.
Now, what are the possibilities? How should you assess being called to a pagan feast where all the pagans are there, false religionists, unsaved, unsaved? Tammy, Anna.
Well, suppose you work somewhere and there's going to be some business there and that you have to discuss what's going on with the company and things of that nature, like, well, we're going to be implementing these changes
mm-hmm.
and so forth and so on. Well, that might be something that would, you know, be beneficial to go to.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if they're assembling and it's not business related, it's like, oh, well, we're going to watch the big game and we're gonna have drinking and gambling and all that sort of thing. And there's no useful business being conducted. You might stay away. And then maybe it's going to be some sort of family picnic with different people. And I mean, maybe you might go to that one. Depending.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you have to consider each situation.
Each situation, yeah, Joe?
Yeah, based on that tail end, Anna said, about basically, you know, concerning the situation, but like you might feel led by the Lord to go and witness to certain people there.
Mm-hmm.
So you might, I mean, the Lord was with tax collectors and prostitutes and everything, because he, it was the Lord's will that he go, and he
mm-hmm.
knew that they needed him, and he wanted to provide them as examples. He wanted to work through them, he wanted to teach us lessons and, you know, minister to them, and
mm-hmm.
and everything else. He had that in the Bible for an example for us to live by as well, for his own reasons, being tax collectors, prostitutes. Not that we all should be with them, but
mm-hmm.
he had eaten with them for his own reasons.
Mm-hmm. In that verse 27, what does this mean, if you be disposed to go? What does that mean? Be disposed to go? Anna mentioned a little bit of the situation. Jill did also. Disposed, did you?
Willing to go. It's not like anybody forcing you to go. You're compelled to go.
Be wise and so on. If the Church of Rome, for example, and the priests of Rome invited you to go to one of their high feasts and mass and so on and so forth, what would you do if that's the case? Any hands in that?
Certainly, I wouldn't go.
I wouldn't, know. Bill wouldn't go. All right. It's a strange thing, but if you dispose of some certain seats, you can. Yes, Tammy.
I can't imagine why they would ask us to come.
No.
Yeah, another example would be, you have a wedding in the family.
Yes.
You know, you go there, but it might be unbelievers. You know, a lot of your family most likely is. Mm-hmm. You know, and as the verse says, whatever's set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience. You don't know that what they're serving might be something that was sacrificed to idols in
yes.
fashion.
Right.
You know.
I remember I went to a wedding in a Roman Catholic church many, many, many years ago. I don't know who was there, one of our grandchildren or children or somebody was getting married. I don't think
it was one of your children that was getting married in the Catholic Church. I think it was maybe a niece or nephew or something.
It could be some friend. Okay, some friend. So I went there. I didn't do a thing. I didn't say anything. I didn't pray. I didn't really sing a song. I didn't say anything. But I was respecting this person that I knew. I don't remember where the person was. Some relative, distant relative, I guess. A lady that we knew. But I had no place in that church. I didn't want anything to do with it. I just sat there and attended. And I saw, after the wedding took place, I remember the wedding party, especially the bride, as soon as finished, she went over to the idol of Mary and kneeled down to that stupid idol and sung strings. I remember that. Yeah, so.
My entire family's not saved. My father, though, on his deathbed said he believed. Praise the Lord for that. And my cousin down in Florida, I believe she was a babe in Christ before she passed. She was my age and she mm-hmm. passed away only a month before Albert did of inflammatory breast cancer. But but the thing is, I've been at certain weddings since my whole family's basically Catholic, both sides of my family.
Yeah.
Certain weddings where I went there after I was already saved and I was just... You know, grieving the spirit inside myself, just wanting to cry. I literally shed, a few tears for how terrible and how ritualistic and traditional and how anti-God the whole thing was, the whole ceremony.
Yes. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Some of you are having trouble maybe on the internet trying to get through. What is that one that is not too good? What's it called?
Well, there's been problems with sermon audio and YouTube. I don't know how they are.
YouTube, I guess.
But the website is
YouTube is their website, Bible for Today Baptist Church. so, see what you have. If there's problems, give us a call, because YouTube not always available. So that's verse number, what was it, 27 or 28?
We were just ready to start 28.
Okay. For constant, all right, verse 28. But... Here's the opposition. Here's the thing that will give us some counsel. But, if any man, Antoinette, I would see it. We're in 1 Corinthians 10, Antoinette. 1 Corinthians 10. All right, in verse 28. But, if any man say to you, this is offering sacrifice unto idols, what are you supposed to do then?
Hands of that God. Don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
If you, if you know that it's sacrificing, you stay away from it.
Not for his sake. That showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So, if
the fact that somebody brought it up
seemed
like it was a problem to that person.
Yes. That's right. 1 Corinthians 10, and we're in verse number 28, I believe. 28.
Yes, 28.
And 28. You moved away here, Antoinette?
That won't happen until the end of the month.
Oh, okay. That's good. All right. Did it read 29?
Yes.
Okay. Now, conscience, whose conscience?
Not thy own.
Not thy own, but...
But the other person's.
The other person that told you about these things. That's for, why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? Liberty means what? In what case is there liberty? And it has in that. Tammy?
Freedom in Christ.
Freedom in Christ. Mm-hmm. Not under the law, right? Free from the law. It judges another man's conscience. See, the other person has no means of judging you. It's up to you to judge yourself and make the decision properly.
Scripture also tells us not to do something that would cause another brother or sister in Christ to stumble.
Yes.
But we can also do things, as I think it implies in here, mm-hmm. Tell us conscience, not your own, but the other person's. Mm-hmm. Going back to verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, and you were to eat that, you're going to make them look at you and wonder about what your beliefs really are. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what you say you believe, or don't you? Mm-hmm. Or are you being a hypocrite?
Did we read 30 yet?
No.
Well, let's read verse 30, 31, and 32. In fact, 33 also get those to the end of the chapter.
For if by grace be I partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
All right, verse 30. If I say by grace be a partaker, if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken? Partaker of what? What is this context you think that means in this verse? It has it. Yeah, 10.
Partake in that, or eat that meat that's offered unto idols.
All right, meat offered to idols, but partake, so on. By grace partaker, am I evil spoken? Why? Why do you think people would evil speak to you about you? If you do partake, any hands on that? Why do you think this is the case, Tammy?
Well, in the case of this previous man, it seems like it was an important concern, and then they're talking about verse 28. It says, if any man say unto you, this is offered and sacrificed unto idols. So it seems like it's important to that person, mm-hmm. and there may be a stumbling block to that person. So don't eat, so you don't want to be a stumbling block to them right. for that man's conscience sake. Right. They would not be offended.
Yes. So evil spoken of by some are genuine Christians, often evil spoken.
Yes.
Why are we evil spoken of sometimes? Yes.
Because we love the Lord and want to follow Him, and people don't like to see truth. They don't like to see that mm-hmm. because it probably pricks their conscience.
All right. Any other thoughts on that? Why are we evil spoken of? Because we don't always agree with what the world thinks. And, so if we are against it, they're against us. That's right. So that was verse 30. For what he gives thanks. In other words, he's talking about food, giving thanks for the food that is there. And verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, what should be done by the genuine Christian? That's first day.
To do everything for the glory of God.
The glory of God.
Enjoy our life
Lord.
In the Lord.
But eating or whatever it may be, by the grace of God. Eat or drink. Be sure it's to God's glory that we can do that. So should we drink wine or alcohol or take drugs or yes,
I know you won't like this, but it does say take a little wine for the stomach's sake. But we're not supposed to be drunkards. We're not supposed to partake in anything that would cause harm to our body, but mm-hmm. it has been proven that it is helpful. Just a little bit of wine.
All right.
I don't think we should sit home and have, to drink in excess. No.
Should that
but
be
it does that, say take a little wine for the stomach's sake.
Should that be a part of the meals of genuine Christians? Wine drinking in a general, every single day is
required. If you're referring to wine as grape juice, then it's not a problem. But so if you're referring to fermented grape juice, mm-hmm. where it has a high alcohol content, mm-hmm. Anything today, really, under any way that you measure it, is strong drink. So it would not be acceptable.
Let me get this.
Including the wine coolers that have the lowest.
I'm just going to say there's wine coolers.
I need it right ahead.
They have too much alcohol.
By the way, this is David and Rebecca. Just calling in to say hello, and we're watching on YouTube there for a minute. It's determined how you came in, and we were watching on that. Both of them are working here.
Well, that's good. Thank you, David. Appreciate your call, because we didn't know who was there, who wasn't there, but now you're giving a little bit of belief.
David Howell from
Greenville.
Hi, Greenville.
That's right, wait for them. That's good. And Jehovah Others will call now that we see that YouTube is available and Bible for Today, I think you said. All right, so that was in what verse number? What was that?
You were talking 31. About
drinking. Oh, 31, yeah. We talked about the alcoholic content of things. And once you get onto wine or any other alcoholic drink, is it always possible to stop it?
You can become addicted to
it. That's exactly right. Go ahead.
I knew a woman who, she was a school teacher, and she would have a glass of wine after her classes were finished, and then it became a habit, and she got addicted to it.
Yes, that's Dan, and then John, and then Joe. John,
Joe. The president sells it, but he doesn't drink it.
He sells it? You're right.
He sells it, but he doesn't drink it. Because he had a brother who was an alcoholic.
Yeah. Joe and then John.
I didn't know he sold it. That's news to me. I know he doesn't drink.
He manufactures, I guess.
I mean, it says in this verse here, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, before you take that drink, you have to think, you know, not just, is it addictive, could I stop and all that, but are you glorifying the Lord, or are you doing it, you know, for your own pleasure or your own happiness?
Right. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is ready.
Wine is a mocker and a strong drink is raging. Why is wine a mocker? Because you might think you can keep it under control, but that tiny little bit of fermentation, it's not affecting me, but it will slowly draw you in more and more.
I was going to say that verse that says, be filled with the Spirit, not with strong drink.
I remember services I used to perform out there on the West Coast, Seattle or Washington, somewhere, and the pastor invited me at least 3 or 4 years in a row. Once a year, he had me out there speaking. All of a sudden, he began drinking wine. It was told me that that was the case. So I wrote him and said, I don't think you should do it. So anyway, no more does he invite me to come speak. But his drinking of wine never stopped. He kept on and on and on and on and on. Now, I did not feel it right for a pastor of a church, Bible-believing church, to be addicted to wine, alcohol. So I spoke up, and he kicked me out, which is fine. I don't care. Jill.
Two things to say. First of all, I know certain people who are not all Presbyterians, but I just know, like, there was a church that I used to attend briefly, like, just a long time ago. I didn't partake in alcohol just because they were but there were elders and different people in there who thought that drinking socially was okay. Mm-hmm. And also, I remember Albert had, and I still have it somewhere around my house, pamphlet, not a tract, some kind of biblical pamphlet, a literature, it said on the front cover, alcohol, and it said, the devil's cup.
Oh, yes. On there. I remember that same church where I was there first, and since drinking, I stopped. He invited one of my friends, a pastor friend, and he was there for a while, and then he found out that the pastor was drinking after the service were over, and he asked about that. So they kicked him out too. So both of us were out because of the same thing. But, Tammy.
Tell me what John says. That verse, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And to the same degree that alcohol is controlling, even just a tiny bit, the Holy Spirit should be controlling, and He's not able to when that alcohol is in there, even if it's just a little tiny bit.
Yes.
You know, so that's why you should abstain.
Yes, there's two contrary forces that are at us once you're partaking, so we've got to be very cautious.
Yeah.
Abstain is the way to go. I know in the service, the Navy Seven, I was in Navy for active duty for 5 years, and the Lord's table was given all times, and the pastors, the chaplains used to partake. So I didn't partake at all in the communion service because I didn't have anything to do with it, didn't take any of the cups or whatever. I stayed out of it completely. they probably thought that was a little silly, but I was a Protestant chaplain. They just have two kinds of chaplains in the Navy, Protestant and Catholic. I was a Catholic, I was Protestant, but I was a Baptist, and I was an independent. So anyhow,
even a Protestant then.
Not even a Protestant. Yes, that's right.
I was just going to say, I remember reading an article where it said that alcohol can kill brain cells. I got enough problems. I don't want
to kill brain cells.
Exactly. And think of that every time.
We
want to hold on to those cells.
Exactly. What first round?
We're ending 31.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Verse 31.
Yeah.
To all, to the glory of God.
Amen.
Whether eat or drink, for God's glory. That's the main thing. So in verse number 32, give none offense. What does that mean? Oh, Anna.
Well, in general, alcohol is sort of like what they call it sometimes, antiseptic. Because you have, you use alcohol to sanitize things, to kill bacteria.
Yeah.
Because alcohol kills cells. That's what it does.
Yeah.
Any type of alcohol. Ethanol, rubbing alcohol.
That's true, too.
I was going to say, it's a different type of alcohol.
Ethanol does it, too.
That's a different. Now you wouldn't drink that kind because that can kill you.
We're talking about the antiseptic alcohol.
The reason you can't drink it is because they add something to it so that it isn't drunk.
Oh, okay.
That was it.
I think I was watching an old Bonanza or whatever, and they had, little Joe got an arrow in his shoulder, and the doctor came, and anyway, long story short, he offered him some alcohol, but little Joe said no.
Oh.
Because that show was supposed to be based on, some Bible.
Good. Very good.
So anyway,
so
he abstained even in his state of being shot in an arrow.
All right.
Now,
what is this verse? In verse 32, what does this mean? Give none offense. What does that mean? Give none offense. This time.
Well, going back to that brother that brought up the meat that was offered to idols.
Mm-hmm.
If this person is going to eat it in front of this, the one that brought it up, then you may cause them to stumble or be offended.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same way, we're not supposed to give any offense with regard to anything, not just in regard to meat.
Do we always know that we're offending people?
No.
So we've got to be very careful and cautious and so on. But give not offense. And then message, neither to the...
Pastor Wade?
Yeah, well, excuse me.
I just want to mention something quick. Some certain people that, maybe even though you might not know you're maybe offending someone, there might be certain people that even though most people wouldn't be offended by a certain comment, you might have somebody who maybe is hypersensitive or whatever, and they just get offended for whatever reason. They take something the wrong way, but then they might have a personality where they take a lot of things the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the average person.
Now, do we know what is offensive? Are some people offended even when we tell them the truth?
Yes.
So we can't stop telling the truth.
Right.
Yeah. For instance, are people offended by the gospel of Christ?
Yes.
It doesn't mean we stop it. This offense means some other kind of thing. Yeah, John?
Yeah, we don't always know what's offending them, but the world itself is offended by the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Example.
Right.
I have my cousin who lives next door. His daughter is extremely liberal.
Mm-hmm.
She's offended at the very belief in God and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And even though she'll say otherwise, after so many years, now goes to a church, but I can't call it a church because it's on the verge of emergent.
An emergent church.
Yeah.
Which is doctrinally
teetering on the line there between, purpose driven and emergent church.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not a church at all. My cousin went with them a couple times. He doesn't like it. It's a rock show. It's not church. So they want a church that just tickles their ears, and doesn't give any offense.
Are there churches that do tickle ears?
Yes.
Are they many or few?
There's many.
Many. Very few that don't tickle ears.
Right. So if we, we will be offensive to those people just because we believe God's word. We can offend them by just sitting at Wendy's and reading our Bible. They're offended that we have a Bible there. Well, in that case, then offend them.
Exactly. Answer that.
Well, I was going to say, this is America, and we have freedom here.
Yes.
So if we have a Bible and we're at a public place, so be it. We have freedoms here. Glory to God.
Yes,
we
do.
But then just because we have freedom doesn't mean that somebody won't be upset. But I mean, not that we should care if they're upset. But I mean, it's just something that's likely to occur.
Yeah. Yes.
But they do things that are even more offensive.
Yes.
In their behavior, their attitude, and their you know, whatever they're doing or reading or being your poison, I suppose.
Right. Exactly.
Yet those are people who Pastor Dan said that they're, you know, they're not Christians and they're doing things that are so unchristian, it's not funny, but we're supposed to have, you know, like, for example, the LGBTQ movement and all them, tolerance, that's like the key, like a cult word, like a, tolerance for everybody, everything, whatever they're doing it, like I have two lesbian neighbors, and they, you know, and they put a balloon and everything outside showing that they just had a baby, they put it on their mailbox, and I'm just... You know, like I live right next door to them, and it grieves me very much what they're doing under their roof and everything, and that they're there, and I pray for their salvation. Other times, just disgust me what they're doing, and they're there. And then, you know, I'm like, well, you know what? The average person might congratulate them for having the baby, but I mean, they're already living in sin. I can't bring myself to congratulate them.
That's right.
Maybe if I see the kid and, oh, cute little baby or whatever, but I'm not going to say, oh, congratulations on your kid, because they're, in a way, condoning their relationship.
That's right. Bill and John.
Yeah, these people that are, these liberals that she was talking about, especially the homosexual ones, they're very critical of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They even have an organization against religion.
Yeah.
You don't hear them mouthing off against Buddhists or Hindus or anything like that, or Mohammedans, but they are constantly critical of Christianity. If you ask them, they would like to do away with it. They would like to outlaw it. And yet, this is supposedly a country that's free.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, they oppose the freedoms that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. They're only interested in the freedoms that they have. Well, if God did not exist, there wouldn't be anything wrong with pornography or homosexuality or any evil thing. Why wouldn't we even go around killing people that we don't like? Right. You know, the lawlessness of the sinner is unlimited. There are some people that say, well, I won't go around killing anybody, but they're just as lawless as a murderer. And people that are like that, there's liberals. You know, if you do not have God in your life, then you have no reason for your life.
Mm-hmm. John, we touched on that.
Yes, you know, they refer to it. I've been told this by even some family members. You're in a cult. They see true biblical Christianity, born again Christians. We're in a cult. You know, we're brainwashed. That's how they see it. We talk about tolerance and their intolerance. They're tolerant of. They want to be tolerant of everything except opposition to anything.
Yes.
You know, and that's why they see us as a cult.
Right. Pastor Dan and Bill. Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we have a message from Elroy.
Okay, go ahead.
Things are working on well on BFT website now. Tell them to go there.
Yep. BFT website, Bible for Today.
Yeah, website.
Jill first and then Bill again.
I forgot what I was going to say anyway.
Well, that's good.
Is that what you
want
to say?
Now, in this verse, what's going on? Yes, Wendy, go right ahead. From Wisconsin.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
It's fine.
Good. I wanted to let you know, we were with some friends, and they were in Milwaukee, and they were, I'm trying to think, they're Christians, and they were standing out, and the gay and lesbians were having their gay pride down there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people were holding their Bibles and they were praying for one another, and all of a sudden bring out the lions, bring out the lions.
What does it mean by that?
Don't you remember when they had them in the arena with the Romans and they put the Christians in the arena and the lions came and ate the Christians?
Yes.
That's what they were screaming. Bring out the lions to destroy the Christian people.
Early martyrs.
This is less than,
there's a lot of hatred there, Pastor, and so prevalent. I'm to hear you, maybe you have whatever, they have a baby, there are two women that's not a normal thing. Two women cannot have a baby together.
Right.
And to say congratulations on that, I feel for Jill because it's hard, because that baby's going to grow thinking that this is a normal lifestyle.
Uh-huh. Right.
But when these people just downright hate us, and you know, we're talking about having our Bible somewhere, they look at you, and I actually had someone say, are you a Bible thumper? And I probably said, yes, I am.
Okay, well, thank you, Wendy. Appreciate that. Let's wait for Wendy in Chicago to live in Milwaukee. Is it Milwaukee?
Elroy.
Wisconsin. Okay, Wisconsin. All right. Yes, Joe.
I was talking, you know, the other week when Lorraine was here and everything like that.
Yes.
I was talking to her, and we were outside of the steps, and I was getting ready to leave.
Big and Lorraine, our son and daughter.
Yes. And she was walking her doggy and all that, so we were talking for a while. I told her I lived next door to my to those lesbians, whatever. I told her that they know Born Again. I told, hate to even say this, but the one that considers herself the husband is sick.
Yeah.
I told her that I was a Born Again Christian, you know? So talking for a while, whatever. So the thing is that, I was telling her that I had some issues with my property, and they sent a violation on me regarding something with my property that I had to get rectified. And all this, they saw that same woman who, you know, I told, I was a woman, she's stupid on my property, looking around like, and then she got nosy, and then she got me in trouble, tried to get me in trouble with my township and all this other stuff, even though I was getting along with her well before.
Yeah.
You know, and she tried to get her son and another neighbor's daughter to run as fast as they could towards some gutters or something that weren't, you know, safe for them. And the son knew better. Her son, the lesbian son, knew better. And the other daughter, though, after everybody broke up, she was running towards them and she was crying like she wanted to go towards them. So she kind of planted something in the neighbor's child's head to run and crying like the forbidden fruit wanted it. But the thing is that Lorraine was saying, once they, find out, like a lot of these gay people, that you're born again Christians, sometimes they'll do nothing. They'll stop at nothing to make things very hard for you, to come against you all the time, just, you know?
All right, well, what should we do if they do come against us?
Well, hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Okay.
So we have to speak
should we stop following the Bible?
No.
Never. Is that yes, sir?
Yes, I'm going to say, you know, I think I touched upon this at the DBS meeting. The world sees us. We are the evil ones. Born again Christians, we are the evil ones of the world
today.
That's
right.
And that's New Age teaching.
Yep.
True Christianity is evil.
In verse 32, that we're on that verse, there are three groups of people who we should give none offense to. What's the first group?
Jews.
The Jews. How should we not give offense to the Jews? Who's got a hand on that, anybody?
Rebecca Howell.
Rebecca Howell. I see a lot of Rebecca first. Yes, Rebecca. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Lee. I just have a couple of scriptures in regards to the comment about some homosexuals living next door with children, I guess kind of graduating with a child. And some scriptures in 2 John that kind of speak to this in a way, but it says, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Then in verse 10, in 2 John, it says, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speak. And the day goes on more, but it's kind of the doctrine of separation. It's pretty much in verse 10 scripture. And so I know when I'm like, all witnessing people, or Jehovah's Witnesses kind of my door, you know, we're very careful about allowing them to even come in the house, and certainly not pushing them on speaking way or well wishes in sin. That there's a clear separation between them and us, and although we try to reach out in Christ to witness to them, to be very careful in overlooking anything that they're doing that is ungodly. So those are just some good scriptures there. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. Thank you. Let's wave to Rebecca Howell. Come to have them here, David, her husband. All right. Now, you have Sir Patrick then.
There's a note from our other Wendy in Wisconsin. I can hear clearly on YouTube after the tape stopped about 5 minutes ago. Before that, I could hear anyone else except Pastor Wade. So, are we to partake in the wedding with alcohol and rock and roll music? I personally don't feel comfortable attending. It seems we could be a witness by not attending or being involved in a function that causes others to stumble. Thank you for the study. This is from Wendy from
Barbie. Let's wave your way to Barbie in there in Wisconsin. Wendy, do you want to put your black on the internet and the email list? Let me know, and we'll be glad to put you on. Glad to hear from you today. All right, group. Yes, that question.
Which is a point, you know, you have the reception that follows the wedding.
Yes.
Which is sometimes very troubling.
Drunkenness and
yeah. And even yeah. Sometimes at
Christian
weddings,
oh, yes.
Those things happen.
Right.
Not just it doesn't stop. The drinking, the dancing, and goes the whole gamut.
Right.
But it's shocking sometimes.
Yes, the joke.
Yeah, I mean, any kind of alcohol, any kind of revelry, and any of that stuff, and drinking, no matter if a little bit or a lot, is repulsive and abomination to God and should be to us. But I have a cousin whose example, I mean, she gets at these functions, you know, these weddings and everything, so drunk that she can't even stand up. People have to help her, and they're running over, and they're helping her, and feeling like, you know, I'm prompted to want to help her. The other hand, I'm like, you know what, should I even bother? Because then I'm like, you know, helping her in her sin, in a way, you know, in a backwards way.
Yes, David Powell. Go ahead, David.
Hi, Pastor Wade. Just a couple of scriptures on separation. Basically, what the chapter is referring to and not attending.
Yeah.
It's difficult sometimes when you are disposed to go somewhere, it's necessary for you to do so, and you know that the surrounding is going to be wickedness, such as was in the case of Lot, that he chose to go there. But it even says in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says that he vexed his righteous soul.
Yes.
He there in Lot, not being there in Sodom.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that the Lord and delivered Lot the vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 7.
Yes.
For the righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. But the Lord, in verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself, like Jill said, very, very often, with several people at the place I work, and three of them are unwed mothers. A couple of them have three children out of wedlock, and none of them are with the fathers of the children. And it vexes my soul to hear them congratulate each other and talk so highly of these children who are going to have to grow up in a home without a father.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, the Lord has me there to be a witness for him, and it's difficult.
Yes.
But I cannot, I believe the Bible also teaches that I cannot congratulate them in their wickedness. I have to take a stand with Scripture and say, no, it's wicked, it's not right. That doesn't mean that I hate you. I love you as God would love you and want you to get saved.
Right.
And that's the main goal for us here. Why would God even leave us Christians here if it wasn't to be a witness for him?
Mm-hmm.
But it does. It's very shocking.
Yes.
It vexes our soul to have to deal with these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robert. David? That's way for David there. Mm-hmm. And is it, what is the city again?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Near Greenville, is that? Yes, Anna.
They're having the children out of wedlock, which is not really the way to do things necessarily.
Right.
But the child is alive.
That's
like they didn't kill their child, like so many seem to do today. Their child is beautiful, and it's the child, like, what the parents did is not the child's fault.
Right.
Exactly. And so, whenever I see a new life, I'm like, look at what a beautiful child, because it's like fearfully and wonderfully made.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I'm troubled by, perhaps by how the child came to be, but nevertheless, the child is here.
Mm-hmm.
And if people would stop and think and consider, perhaps the miracle of life mm-hmm. would cause them to ponder spiritual things.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, yes, Jill?
So we don't actually, you know, based on what Anna said, come to think of it, we don't know if that child who was brought up out of wedlock mother or a lesbian parent or two gay guys or whatever, we don't know if that child's going to become saved someday.
Right.
Or whatever. Pray for the child, not just people that did the wrong thing with the child, like saved them out of wedlock or something.
That's right. Let's get back to verse 10:32. Give none offense to the three groups, Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. Pastor Dan?
We'll continue on. What are we saying? Sometimes she says it's better not to go. I mean, specifically, if they tell you ahead of time of the activity that's going to be there,
right.
Then if they're going to tell you, you know, we go assuming it could be something that you may consider going to, but if someone specifically says this is going to happen there, they're going to have the dancing, the alcohol, and all these things. Mm-hmm. Then, if they know your position on it, if they know you're uncomfortable with that type of thing, then it's probably best not to go.
Best not to go.
Yes. I mean, it's very, for their conscience.
Right. Anna.
And then we, even within Christian circles, sometimes the dancing is acceptable, and it's like there's a slow dance versus the, and then I never mind.
Well, they have the father-daughter dance. Yeah. I don't think that's ungodly.
Any questions on verse 32? Give none offense neither to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the Church of God. How can these offenses be, and how can you stop offending the Jews, for example? Start with the first group. Give none offense to the Jews. No answer? Give none offense then to the Gentiles. No answer? Give none offense to the Church of God. Yeah, Tammy?
You don't want to be... to those that don't know the Lord, you don't want to be openly
obstreperous.
And I don't know what that means, but if you define it, I'll probably agree.
Well, very unbehaving. And
yeah, just obnoxious or something like that.
Right. All right, that's what we're going to do then. Any other comments? We can close pretty soon.
About the Church of God?
Yes, the Church of God. How about that?
We have to love our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have to get to know them and know what kinds of things might stumble them.
Mm-hmm.
And not put that in front of them.
Yes. Don't make it first on your agenda to give offense to the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. Yes, Antoinette?
Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, whatever offensive person, whether we're drunk or not drunk, always be a light unto the world. Be a light.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our position is, to be a light unto the world.
Okay. All right, any other questions before we close this afternoon? We'll take this up. We're going next Sunday. Any other comments or questions?